That was good. It's been a while since I've been up here. So tomorrow's my birthday. Mindy left my birthday present on the chair, and Hunter showed it to me and said, "What is this?" Yesterday. I knew what it was anyway. All right, so I'm going to explore a subject today. I'm not really preaching doctrine, but there's some stuff that's pretty black and white. But so I've had the pleasure of being involved in three weddings in the last year and a half. Actually, in the last year. And through all that, studying, you know, what I would say and my thoughts about marriage and blah blah. You know, I've been in the Bible and found out what the Bible said about it, and kind of had some things pop up to me and some revelation I felt like I got from the Lord about marriage. And so this past few months, I ended up reading a book via audiobook. That's how I read all my books. It's a book by Dr. Emerson Eggerich, something like that. He wrote a book called Love and Respect. Okay? And I hope I can deliver today to you, as big as this is in me, what's going on with this. And this thing, so I've said in the past, jokingly, not to broadcasting this, but I said, I know somebody has a better marriage than Mindy and I just never met him. So, jokingly saying that I have a pretty good marriage. This book changed everything. It identified things that I didn't know. It's scripture. We're going to get into it today. I recommend this book. I'm not a book recommender. I don't think I've ever recommended anybody read a book up here. But there's several people sitting in this church that are reading this book because when I got done with it, I implored them to read it. So enough on the book. It's really the content of the book and where the book led me marrying it. So it's going to sound like this is a book, this is a sermon about marriage. It is, but not really. And if I come across from a male's point of view and you get your toes stepped on as a woman, it's not my intention, because there's enough in this for men and women, okay? But this is really instructional, and it very much changed how we view our marriage and how I view the world and landscape, honestly, with men and women. And so it's really interesting. I hope you guys find it interesting. But then I'm going to tie it into something else, soon as I get my glasses out of my pocket, that I think is relatable for everybody, whether you're married or not. And it's probably the meat of the sermon and the part that I like the most and the thing that I was onto before I read the book. So everybody turn to Ephesians. I got a new Bible via Hunter Fisher, a small, sleek NIV.
You're saying via a lot.
I know, I like that. So it's a new word the other day. It's a new word for me. Via. Be quiet, via Joe. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 21. Submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and shall be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay, let's jump in to this. The book is called Love and Respect. Okay, the last summary of that passage is this. Men, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands. Okay, so this guy, and he counseled for like 30 years, and he just knew something was missing. As he would teach these women, the women would always ask, how do I get my husband to love me like I love him? How do I get him to return the love that I feel for him in me? And so as he would sit there and he would listen to these women, and he would say, you know, you just got to turn your love on and give him more love, and that love will come back. But he knew it wasn't working, because it wasn't working in his own marriage. And he couldn't understand it. And so how many men do you think come into a counseling situation and go, how do I get my wife to love me like I love her? Almost none. Because we're not made the same. So God made things different on purpose. Okay, and I put it to you like this, and I'll use this analogy because it works for me, and we're enough country here that it'll work. We're all engines. There are diesel engines and there are gasoline engines. Do diesels run on gas? If you put diesel fuel. But it blows the guts out the rear. Yeah. I like it. Can you run a gasoline engine with diesel fuel? No, they don't. It doesn't work. And so God made diesels and gas engines. They look the same. They got the V8. They function the same. They got camshafts, and they got all the parts, and there's an actual explosion that causes the piston to go down, another piston to come up. So it looks very similar, but if you put the wrong fluid in one, it'll destroy them. And to me, that made sense. And so he tells the man, love his wife. Why? Why does he tell the man to love his wife? Because you're not naturally going to do that. It's not natural for a man to think loving, to think about loving his wife, or say how he talks, or how he treats her, or when he's mad, or when he functions in life. It is not on the forefront of his brain to be loving to his wife. Does he love her? We're talking about a love. We're not talking about that. We're talking about love in action. Okay? It's not on the front forefront of his brain. He's not a natural at it. So that's why the instruction comes. At the end of this, he says, listen, men, you got to remember, I'm as God giving you instruction. You are to love that woman. You're to love that woman that you have just like you love your own body. Just like you're thinking about a cheeseburger, you need to think about her. Because you get up every day and you feed this thing you got going on. You are obsessed with your own self. And that's a man. A man's obsessed with his physicalness, whether he's hungry, whether he's cold, whether he's hot. Whatever he's going on in his brain, he's obsessed with what's going on right here. That's what a man, and you were created to do that. It's not bad, it's just that you were created to do it. God's given instruction saying just how you feel about yourself, you need to feel about her. So, the woman, respect. The man runs on respect. I never knew this. I mean, I knew it, but I didn't know it. I would have never identified what my fuel was without this being pointed out, that I run on respect. How many people have ever heard of unconditional love? Marriage is full of unconditional love. It's unconditional. It's just unconditional love. What about unconditional respect? You ever heard of unconditional respect? Unconditional respect is, no, respect is supposed to be earned. That's what we've been told. That ain't what this says. This says, wives, respect your husbands, whether they deserve it or not. It's unconditional respect, because we run on that. That's our fuel, okay? Women run on love. So here's what I will say. It's not that women don't need respect and that men don't need love. And I'm stealing from the book very, very much. If you read the book, you'll find this. I'm going to tie into some other things later. He says like this. So food and water. Okay, how long can you go without food? A while. How long can you go without water? Not as long. Women's water is love. Men's water is respect. I'm not running around trying to get love, but I want respect. And I never identified it as respect. And then I thought back on, not to get into the nuts and bolts, and I'm not going to use any examples of our marriage. But the times where I was most mad, I look back at those things where we got in an argument or got in a fight, and I realized through this book that I wasn't mad about what she was saying. I was mad about, I felt disrespected. And let me say this. I don't think Mindy has ever woke up in the morning and intentionally decided to disrespect me. So this is not about intentions, okay? This is not about how we intend to do things with one another. I don't intend to not love her. I say things and I don't even think about it. She feels like it's unloving and she's upset and hurt. She's hurt. She's off over here and I'm thinking about tires. Like, I didn't even know anything happened, right? So it's not like it's intentional that I'm not loving to her. There's times where I'm mad and I say something that is unloving. But usually it is the cycle. Why did God do it this way? Why did God set this thing up? Why is a woman running on gasoline and a man running on diesel? So I started thinking about this and listening to this book, and he says that when a man is respected by a woman, what is his response? What happens? He gets loving. He literally set this thing up so that if a woman respects a man's response is love. And it may not be an emotional love, it's an action of love. How do I know this? Because I started thinking about this after reading this book, and I understood that I did this with other men. Meaning, I give other men respect, and their response to me is favor, which is an action of love. I'm not talking about this emotional, I love you, love you, love, hug, and kiss each other love. I'm talking about actions of love, which is giving somebody favor or giving some. I have gone into situations and I gave a man unconditional respect when he didn't deserve it or earn it from me. And his response to me, I started seeing that throughout my history through business and favor with men. And I understood that this is a key. This is a key that God gave, that men run on respect. So they did a survey. Out of 100 men, they asked, would you rather live your life loved by your family and disrespected by everybody, or respected by everybody and not ever have love? What do you think the percentage was? 75% of men said they'd rather be respected than loved in a survey. They couldn't live with the world just thinking that they were have no respect for them. That was easier. It was an easier concept to not have love than to have that. So this love and respect thing really hit a chord with me, and I started understanding that I want respected. When a woman honors and follows a man, she says in here, husband or wives, submit to your husbands. Follow him. Basically, submit to him, follow him. It's the ultimate action of respect. That is the ultimate respect, okay? So I'm sitting here going, oh my word, you know, you're going to teach about submitting and a woman following a man and all this, and it's like, it's crazy. I'm going to make that make sense here in a minute. But for me, it is when the woman comes to me and we have a disagreement, but she goes ahead and says, I'm going to go your way, right? That's the ultimate action of respect. What happens when that happens? I soften. And so here's the funny thing. The reverse is true. When I don't get respect, I don't give love. And we end up in a thing called the crazy cycle that is hard to stop, okay? Because if I'm disrespected, I'm not giving love. And if she's not giving love, she's not giving respect. I'm not going to give that Jack respect when he's an idiot and he's talking like this and blah, blah, blah. So do you know how a woman gets a man on his knee with a ring in a box? She loves him and she likes him. What? She loves him and she likes him. She likes him. Like a woman likes a man. When a woman likes a man, she's respecting him. I like you. I like being with you. I like what you do. Guess what happens when we get married? We start telling him what we don't like. Because we're living with each other now. Now, I'm deciding what I don't like about you. What is that? It's disrespect. Not disrespect in like a demeaning, it's just disrespectful to his character, who he is. And so then we start nitpicking each other. I don't like that you burnt the toast. So I verbalize it. Why'd you burn my toast? I don't like burnt toast. It's not very loving, is it? I just made you toast. I just got up early, made you toast, and now it's burnt, and you got to say something about it. Yeah, it's burnt. I don't like burnt toast. Does that sound very loving? She doesn't feel loved. Guess what? Am I getting any respect? No. So this thing goes round and round and round. And now that I can see it, I can identify it, and it doesn't mean I can easily stop it, because we since the book, we're still watching it happen. Like it happened while I was telling somebody about this. So I was trying to explain it, and I used an example, and by the time I was done with the example, we were in the crazy cycle. I was disrespected, she was feeling unloved. And I was not happy. But this thing goes round and round. But God saying, look, this is why you need me. This is why you need me in the situation, because if I just let you guys have it, you guys will wreck this thing. You'll be dumping diesel and gas engines and gas and diesel engines every day. Because a man, if I want to talk to Nick, I dump diesel on him, it works. Like we go to work and I talk to him like, it's all diesel fuel. I try that with her and it's bad. Like it ruins pistons and rings and lifters. I mean, it's bad. And I've been told, I'm not your employee. I don't work with you. I'm not a man. The point is that we get results because everybody wants to give it how they get it. So a woman thinks she can love a man into loving her. You can't. Just newsflash, it's not possible. It doesn't work that way because God didn't make it that way. You can dump all the gasoline you want into our diesel engine and all you're going to do is ruin the insides of us. It doesn't work. And so, interesting, I find, that this is a profound mystery. It says, at the end of this, right before this, it says, but I talk to you about Christ and church. However, hold on a second. For this reason, where is that? Verse 32, it says, this is a profound mystery. A profound mystery. Profound. Profound. Like means it's got big impact. It's got lots of angles and depth. Like there's something very big here. I don't know any place else in the Bible that it says there's something, it's a profound mystery. He's talking about this marriage thing. And the next verse is the verse about respect, love, and respect. Okay? Who in here, by show of hands, does not want the love of God? Interesting. Okay, nobody. So everybody wants it. Everybody wants God's love? There's nobody here that doesn't, right? So everybody wants that. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Where else is that found? Where else is that found? Bible interprets Bible, right? The Bible interprets Bible. When something's written that's been repeated, then I want to go back to where it was first said. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. So in Genesis chapter 1, it says this. We're talking about a profound mystery, okay? So I want to start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the animals, and over all creation that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created he them. Turn over to chapter 2. We're going to start in 15. For the Lord took man and put him in the garden of Eden and to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die. And the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God has formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them unto man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was what its name was. So the man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the sky and the animals. But Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took out of the man of, took one of the man's ribs, and then he closed up the place of the flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he had taken out of the man, and he brought her unto the man. And the man said, "Now this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt not ashamed." This is a profound mystery. This is a profound mystery. What's in Ephesians is a profound mystery, because that's what it's talking about. It's talking about when a man leaves his father and mother and he goes and clings to a woman. Okay? What's profound about it? What do we read in chapter 1? "And God said, let us make man in our image." Okay? This is where Gabe goes off the tracks. Okay? What Gabe's about to say going here forward is Gabe's. Okay? You can relate to it. It'll cause you to stir. I'm either going to tick you off, or you can agree with me. You can disagree with me. I don't care. But it should stir in you, right? That's my purpose. It is not good for man to be alone. Why? Because it's not good for God to be alone. Because he said, I created man in my image. And the reason I know it's not good for him to be alone, because it's not good for me to be alone. God is saying, I have something that's not right with me. Same thing, it's not right with him. I'm created in his image, and if it's not good for him to be alone, it's not good for me to be alone, because I am all good. I am all these things, but I have nothing to give it to. I have nothing to relate to. So Adam goes through all the animals. He's looking through all the animals, and there's not one found to be a helpmate for God, or for Adam. Not one. So Adam says, well, so what's my conclusion there? My conclusion is they were looking. Adam was looking. Yep, it's not a giraffe. It's not a horse. It's not a rabbit. White-tailed deer are nice, but it's not that. Certainly not a dog. That's for you, Matt. All right. He's looking. He's looking for something he can relate to that's like him. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, something that's like him. So God puts him to sleep and takes something out of him and makes a woman. So God reaches in himself and pulls out something called man, called Jesus, called us, something he can relate to. He divides himself, just like he divided Adam. He pulls something out of Adam as a woman. She was in him before. They were just one. They just couldn't express, they had nothing to express themselves to. It wasn't good for him to be like that. It wasn't good for God to be all one and not separate. Okay. Because it's a profound mystery. Because marriage is a God telling us his story to us through us. So God's trying to tell us something with our marriage. He's trying to say, listen, I am like you, and I'm going to give you a gift called marriage, because that's what I want with you. And so guess what? God is love, and he is unconditional love. His love is unconditional. What is our job? What's our job? What's our response? Respect. Fear the Lord. We will love God, but not before we respect him. See, to follow him, to submit to him, and to read and digest his word and then follow those instructions is respect. And the return of that is love. But see, God's unconditional love is already existing. It already is there. The supply has already been done. And because whether you ever respect him or not, his love's there. And a man can unconditionally love his wife and she never respect him. And a wife can respect her husband and he never love her. That's possible. But you don't love your wife to get respect, and you don't respect your husband to get love. You do it because God said so in Ephesians. And when you do it because he said so, you're in the ultimate respect and love game, which is with him, following what he says to do. And if your husband won't give you love, he will, because you're doing it for that reason. And if you don't get respect from your wife, he'll get you respect somewhere else because you're doing it because of him. Because the ultimate reward is not your husband's love or your wife's respect. It's his love. Isn't it awesome? It's a profound mystery, this marriage thing. This is where it's going to get sticky. As a husband, as humans, we're not always right. But God is in a position of the man, and he's always right. Like he can't screw it up. But there are times that I do things for Mindy that I disagree with because I love her. And what I mean is, let's just use a small example. I don't want to go to Dairy Queen. She does. Okay? So, small example is, I go, yeah, do you want to go to Dairy Queen? I can see in her face she wants to. Yeah, I want to go to Dairy Queen. I'm going to submit my will to her and go with her because I love her. It's an action of love. Make no mistake, God does that. And we run around thinking he's a dictator husband who's got the perfect will with the perfect thing going on, and if you don't line up to it, it's just going to be hell on earth. And it's not, because he's not like that, because he's love, and sometimes he submits what's right to give us love. But are we the nagging wife that says, I just don't like it. I've been guilty of what I'm about to say. There's sometimes I just look at God and be like, I wouldn't do it that way. I don't like it. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like the situation I'm in. I'm praying, I'm complaining to God, and I'm like a nagging wife trying to start a crazy cycle with God. And he doesn't withhold his love. But I can tell you this, respect and following his commands actually unlocks the flow to the love that already exists that's sitting there. A quarterback can throw balls all day long to receivers. The ball's there, it's in the air, it's coming to them, it's on the dot. Who's got to catch the ball? The quarterback cannot catch that ball for them. But the supply is there. It's right there. And so God is giving us the keys to this profound mystery that his love is unconditional, and that comes through respect, and that, not the thought of respect, not like reverence, but by acting on it, which is submitting and following his instruction, actually going to get in here and following that instruction, actually is what unlocks that love to actually make the connection to get here. In 1 Corinthians, in a King James Bible, I love my NIV until I don't. In a King James Bible, somebody read in a King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 3, 7 through 9. Men.
So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building.
You are a co-laborer with God. You're his helpmeet. You help him be who he is. He can't be loved without you. He could do a lot of things, but he don't. He does it through us. He didn't build that boat for Noah. He used Noah. He uses us. He uses us for his work, which makes us co-laborers with him, which makes us not just a piece of worthless trash. You have value to him like his spouse. Like he's saying, I need you to help my purpose. It's a profound mystery, this marriage thing. Abraham negotiated with God. concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. God and Abraham negotiated. Israel negotiated with God about a king. God said, I don't want you to have a king. It's not my will for you to have a king. They said, we want a king. Man, he's not going to be good to you. It's not going to work out. It's going to be bad. We want a king. You don't understand. You don't understand the ramifications of having a king versus me being your God. We don't care. We want a king. Okay. And he spent the next how many years fighting kings and trying to work and get a good king and working with the will of the people instead of his will. Moses negotiated with God. Don't kill him, God. God said, I'll start over today. I will knock them all out. We'll just start over with you. Moses said, don't do that, God. You can't do that. It's interesting. It's an interesting concept. That we're in something with God that his ultimate will is not dictating. His ultimate will is not dictating what is actually going to happen. Because he's married to us. My ultimate will is not dictating what's going to happen in our house. Because she's influencing me. And I'm not saying that we're changing the course of mankind. I'm not making that. It's in the calculation. God knew before he started. It's in his calculation. But we are influencing him. Therefore, prayer is what is necessary. And when you pray, you influence because you're an influencer. Because when Abraham and Abimelech was sick and was going to die and after trying to take Sarah, and in the dream, he said, you got to have Abraham pray over you or you're going to die. And Abimelech gets up and goes, says, in he's talking to him and he goes, why do I got to have this guy pray for me? And God said, because he's got influence with me. Because he has influenced me, but you don't. He does. And if he don't pray for you, you're going to die. Why couldn't God just say, hey, man, I got you. I feel you, brother. Come here. Let's hug it out. You're going to be all right. Because man has influence with God, just like a wife has influence with her husband. Through respect, his response is love. All right. Psalm 100. Thought this was really cool. Short psalm. All right. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Enter his courts with thanksgiving, or enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Respect. Give respect. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I enter with respect, and guess what? For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Respect. That's where it starts. It starts with respect because he set it up that way. He made a man live on respect and a woman live on love because that's how it's set up. Because we're trying to, all as believers, we're trying to obtain God's love. We're the woman. The most emasculating thing about the whole situation is when we're done complaining about the woman, we are the woman. What was the other command for the man and the woman in the garden? I'm ending with this. Be fruitful, multiply. Isn't that the purpose of marriage? Isn't that what his intent was? Put a man and a woman together, separate them so they can love each other, so they can have babies. We have a baby back here, an awesome one. Baby Grant. Granite. God wants to make babies with you, spiritual babies, not physical babies. He wants to have spiritual babies with you. This is uncomfortable, but it's real. That's the purpose. The purpose of being married to God is to have babies. Whether those are spiritual victories and wins in your life, or whether they're new converts because of your life, whatever it is, God's in the business of multiplication, and he wants to multiply. This helps me in this fashion. When I pray, I'm going to make sure I pray with respect. Meaning, not a complaining heart, not a I'm sick of it, I don't like this, or everything's wrong heart, but with a reverent heart, not because I'm trying to manipulate God, but because it's how it works. Funny, we start talking about this, and I'm like, I realize that you could tell me you're going to do it, and it would still work. Like, she could be like, I'm going to respect you, and I'd be like, yeah, I still like it. Go ahead and do it. Like, if you really sort this down, a man cannot help but give a positive response to respect. And a woman will do whatever you want when she feels loved. It's interesting, okay? Read the book. It's really good. I don't care what stage of life you're in, it's just good. It's good to understand how to give men diesel fuel and women gasoline. That'll make your life a lot easier. All right, let's pray. Lord, first of all, thank you. We come to you before you with reverence. Lord, we respect you and we desire your love, Lord, in a new way. Teach us not only to have better marriages, better relationships, but, Lord, a better relationship with you. We thank you for your word, the instruction in your word, and just the simplicity of it. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it.